Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here together in your name, and Lord, to get the encouragement and support that we each need as we live our lives in this world. We ask that you would give us understanding now as we turn to your word, Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going through our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 20, the first 20, 21 verses, at the passage that we always have called the Ten Commandments. Okay, now just to kind of kick things off, I thought I might test your memory and see if anybody can tell me the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, a lot of times, a lot of you have probably learned it in the King James Version with the thou shalt not have any other gods. Now, we've changed that in some of the updated versions of the catechism, and we say, you shall not have any other gods before me. Can anyone tell me what our second commandment is? Okay, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third one, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The fourth one, honor your father and mother. The fifth, it's a you shall not. You shall not kill, murder. You shall not, sixth, commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. The eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Hey, man, some of these high school kids might have learned something in confirmation. Man, the ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And the tenth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey. Don't anybody be coveting your neighbor's ox, okay? Or anything that belongs to him. So you shall not covet your neighbor's stuff, right? And so the dilemma here is we actually have another numbering system because there are some churches that go with a different numbering. Their first commandment is you shall have no other gods. The second one is you shall not make for yourself a graven image, an idol. See, we group that with you shall have no other gods. Now, when they get to the end, they join 9 and 10 together. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, manservant, maidservant. And we split those out. So, is there already a problem with the Ten Commandments, or at least the way we number them? There must be if we've got two numbering systems, right? So what I want us to do right quick, I'm going to read through Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to about 18, I believe is where the commandments start, 17 actually. I'm going to read through that, and you can look at it if you want to follow along, but I want you to think in your mind, how many times is there a you shall not, or you shall, or some sort of directive like remember, honor. Okay, and I'm going to try to keep count on my fingers as we go, but I'm going to only be able to hold up one hand since I'm holding this in the other one, okay? All right, so here we go. Chapter 20, verses 1 and following. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name, and I can't get that finger to kind of go up without my little pinky going up, so this is four. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. How many did we come up with?
14.
How do we get 10? How did we come up with 10? Does anybody know? The Bible says so. It actually does. The Bible says, if someone wants to turn there, just for, Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, Deuteronomy 4, verse 13, and Deuteronomy 10, verse 4, all mention the 10 commandments that God gave Moses and the Israelite people. It says 10 commandments. Or let me rephrase that. It actually doesn't say 10 commandments. Your translation is going to translate 10 commandments. But the word that's used in the Hebrew for translating commandments is devarim, which is the plural for devar, which is translated in most every other place, words or things. So if we substituted those three places where it says 10 commandments with what the word is usually translated as, what would it say? The 10 words or the 10 things. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 20 now. And what does verse 1 and 2 say? Verse 1 says, and God spoke all these what? Words. That's the same word that's used there as where we translate commandments in those other three places. God spoke these words. What is the first word he spoke? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Why do we skip that? I mean, that is the most significant words that God speaks, those very first words. And most of the time, we just skip right over it or ignore it. What does the word commandment really mean to you? I mean, isn't a commandment some kind of rule that you have to do? I mean, it's a rule that we set in place that has to be accomplished or needs to be done in order for us to usually, what? Like the kids said, when we keep certain rules, what usually happens? There's a benefit for us, right? Is that really what God's commandments are about? If we keep all these rules, that then we have some sort of benefit from that? I don't think so. You see, in my mind, we have misinterpreted this part of Scripture, even though it's been passed along for centuries and centuries. We've sort of missed what this passage is really all about. I want you to think about this for a moment. And if you can, if you're good at imagining things, if you have to close your eyes to do it, that's fine. But I want you to imagine this for a moment. I want you to imagine that you have gone to a third world country. And I don't care where it is. And maybe it was for business, maybe it was for pleasure, maybe it was for a mission trip. And you went to this place, and in your mind it was a very, very safe place to go. At least that's what everybody said. And while you were there, there's been an uprise against the authorities. And before you know it, for some reason, everything has gotten so chaotic and out of control that you are kidnapped. You've had a blindfold placed over your eyes. You've been thrown in a vehicle and carried off. And you have been stuck in a cell. Yeah, there might be a crack of light coming through that you can kind of make out where you are. You're fed, you're watered a little bit, and you've been in there for several weeks, and to the point that you may have lost track of time, and you may not even know how long you've been in there. And while you're sitting in that cell from day to day, you hear noises outside. You hear yelling and screaming. You might even hear some gunfire. You hear all sorts of things going through your mind. And every time someone brings you food or water, when you hear those footsteps coming to that cell door, you don't know what's going to happen next. One day, you hear footsteps running to that door. The door is thrown open, the light comes in, and a big old guy grabs you, and he throws his hand over your mouth, and he tells you to be quiet. And he tells you that I'm a Navy SEAL, and I have come here to rescue you. I am going to save you. I'm going to carry you out of this place and get you to safety. But you need to do a few things for me. You need to, first of all, don't say anything. I'm going to carry you out, but I need you to be quiet. I want you to place this helmet on your head, and as we're leaving out of here, I don't want you to raise your head up. I want you to keep your head down. And if for some reason I have to leave you behind a building, behind a tree, or in a room, I need you to stay right there. And I will be back to get you. I am saving you. And oh yeah, by the way, don't drink any water except for this water that I have for you in the bottle. Were those rules that Navy SEAL gave you, were those rules the rules that you needed to do that were going to save you? No. How are you being saved? He promised you that he was carrying you out of that place. But what were those rules for? They were going to be super good rules to follow, right? Yeah, some of them could have been even deadly. But he was the one that was rescuing you out of that hostage situation. You see, I think that is exactly what we see in Exodus chapter 20. The first words that God gave to the Israelite people is that I have saved you. I have rescued you out of Egypt. Now these next 9 words that are coming up here, or 13 or 14 or whatever they were, these next words are going to be super good things for you to live by. They're not going to save them, are they? Because they've already been rescued. And I believe that the same is true for us today. We have the Ten Commandments and we put them out as things that, yes, these are good things to live by, right? I mean, it's good to have no other gods. I mean, that's almost a must. We must have no other gods, but everything else is really good. I mean, to honor your parents, that's a good thing, right? Sometimes it gets you what you want, too. It's good to not kill someone, right? Whether it's with our, sometimes even with our words, as Jesus says, murder, you can murder someone in your heart if you have hatred toward them. It's good for us to not commit adultery. It's good for us to not talk harshly and bad about everyone, but build them up. It's good for us to not covet our neighbor's stuff or steal it. Those are all great things, but do they save you? No. Because Jesus has already saved you. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life that we're not able to live. He died to bring forgiveness into our lives, and he was raised from the dead to promise us eternal life. But now, these commands are really good practices that we as Christians live by to have a safe society, to have a society and families and homes and workplaces that are safe and enjoyable. That's why we keep the commandments in response to the first one. I am the Lord your God who rescued you, who saved you through the blood of Jesus. If I had the opportunity, I would renumber the commandments. Everybody says, yeah, right, you've got that power. No, I don't. But I would renumber them. And the first thing I would change is I wouldn't say the Ten Commandments. I would say the ten words or phrases or things that God told the people. And the first one would be, I am the Lord your God who saved you. The second would be, you shall have no other gods. And I would group, you shall have no other gods, and all the graven images, all that is number two. Number three would be, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you should not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's stuff. Now I know I do not have that authority. No one would listen to me. I mean, we've gone too many years, right? But what I want us to understand and know is the fact that the only reason that we would even want to keep these commandments is because we know that God has saved us through Jesus. That was what, in my mind, God was telling the Israelite people, look, I have rescued you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. Now this is the way we're going to live. We know that the Israelite people were not able to keep those commands. We know that we're not able to keep all those commands. But we know that because we have the one who saved us, he brings us forgiveness and life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I know that as we look at your word, there's so many times that different judgment calls have had to be made on translations and different things that are going on in the text. Lord, I pray that even though in this case here, we see this word command. I pray, Lord, that we don't see that as much as a command, but, Lord, a loving response to what you have done for us through your Son, that you have rescued us, that you have saved us from the sin that so entangles our lives. And, Lord, I pray that as we live out our lives here on this earth, that we can be your servants, that we can be people that are inclined to show people your love, and Lord, that we are truly your witnesses in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.